Welcome once again to the E-Bone Zone, as I invite you to sit back, relax, and listen for the 376th time on this Friday, April 5th, 2024. I hope you'll enjoy this week's episode, How Much Skin in the Game is Too Much. I don't know if you've read many books in other languages, but there's one making its rounds in France for a very strange reason. The book is called Destinies of the Soul, and it deals with, well, the human soul. And I doubt what Ludovic Boundland did with his copy was in the author's original plan. Get this, he bound it in human skin that he took from a deceased woman at a hospital where he works. All right, let me go ahead and stop you right there. First off, who looks at skin? Human skin, and says, yeah, that'll look nice on my copy of Pride and Prejudice. I hope no one, or at least I should say hoped, now that this guy's out there. It gets even weirder. He attached a note to the book that says, a book about the human soul deserved to have a human covering. Okay, easy there, Hannibal Lecter. I don't know about you, but this is starting to remind me a lot of a certain series of movies that I refuse to watch because of, let's say, their uncomfortable subject matter. I know what you're thinking. No, I will not link the trailer in the description. If you've seen it, you know which one I'm talking about already. Yuck. Let's go ahead and move on. Harvard Library put out a statement saying, quote, Harvard Library and the Harvard Museum Collections Return Committee concluded that the human remains used in the book's binding no longer belong in the Harvard Library collections due to the ethically fraught nature of the book's origins and subsequent history. Ethically fraught is putting it mildly there, Harvard. They did keep the skin in a secure storage place at the library, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd want it gone. Away from me and anything that has to do with anything I'm doing. Stuff like this is how horror films start. I don't like that at all. This week, I would like to continue a tradition that I hold very close to my heart. I try and offer a good Christian podcast, so I thought I would begin sharing a new Bible verse each week. This week, I would like to share a verse from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." So let's take a look at this verse again. I'll read it in the King James. "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We are fighting a spiritual battle. And like a soldier has to have his armor on to go to war, we have to have our armor on, the armor of God. But what is it? What is this armor of God that we're supposed to put on for spiritual warfare? Well, if you go down a couple verses, starting in verse 14, we see, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness," so we see truth and righteousness, "and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." So let's take a look at this one by one. First, we've got to put on the belt of truth. One of the devil's favorite weapons is lying. He's going to lie to you. He'll distort the truth so it can be hard to tell whether what he's saying is true or false, fact or fiction. So you've got to arm yourself with the truth that God gives you. We've got to arm ourselves with discernment, the wisdom to know God's truth above anything else. Next, we see the breastplate of righteousness. We see this because Satan is trying to undermine our self-worth as Christians and as people. Because you see, Satan is going to try and do everything he can to get us to doubt our salvation, to get us to doubt our place in the kingdom of God. He's going to get in our ear and say, does God really love you? I don't know. Does God really want you in heaven with him when you die? I don't know. Does God really call you his child and his beloved? I don't know. Did God really have you in mind when Jesus was on the cross? Did he really send his son to die for you, someone as unworthy as you are? If we aren't careful, those thoughts can get into our minds and poison us from the inside out. If we aren't careful, we'll start listening to those thoughts and we'll start doubting our salvation. We'll start believing that God isn't who he says he is. We'll start believing that God isn't as faithful as he says he is. We'll start believing that God's word isn't true. We'll start believing that God doesn't love us. But see, that's just one of the things that Satan uses to throw us off. And while we need our feet fitted with the gospel of peace, because the enemy, Satan, he wants to put doubt in our minds. He wants to put turmoil in our hearts. He wants to keep the waters of our lives choppy and stormy. But if we have the gospel of peace in our hearts, he can't win. The door is locked on him because we have our armor on. And also we know that we need the shield of faith, because the devil's plan is to derail our faith, and it is to cast doubt on our faith. It is to cast doubt on our salvation. His plan is to use our weaknesses against us, and that can leave us open to temptation, discouragement, wrong behavior, all that other stuff. But if we have the shield of faith in front of us, knowing that our faith, knowing that our worth, knowing that our righteousness is fully dependent not on what we do, but on what Christ did, then he has no power over us. And next we see the helmet of salvation. This one's really important for anxious people like me, because the struggle with Satan, a lot of times it starts in your mind, and then it goes to your heart and everywhere else. But if you have the helmet of salvation on, our thoughts can't be used against us. If we call on Jesus, he will renew us so that our eyes and our minds will stay fixed on him at all times. And whatever the devil's saying to us, whatever lies he's whispering in our ears, they become irrelevant because we're listening to the voice of the Father. We need the sword of the Spirit as well. We need to know the Bible, because the enemy is hoping to neutralize the power that we have through Christ. And our power comes through his word. Our power comes through what he says. He said in his word, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So his word in us, his breath in us, his love, his light, his life flowing through us, that is how we live. That is how we can make it from day to day. We need to know who we are in Christ. And how we know who we are in Christ, we need to connect with him through his word at any opportunity we have. Sometimes the internet can be a pretty cool place. Other times, well, not so much. And that's why I've taken it upon myself to dive back into the depths of Twitter to see which side of the coin we're presented with this week. This week's hashtag is How I Celebrate April Fools. The first response, How I Celebrate April Fools, I put my guard crab on high alert. You have a guard crab? Oh my goodness, where could I get one? Okay, before we get too deep into this, I do have some questions. Is it like the crab from Family Guy that snips its claws and says no repeatedly while guarding your porch when someone tries to come see you? Or is it the type of crab that you give a knife by mistake because you think it'd be funny and you're just hanging out with your buddies? But now it's something you have to warn your neighbors about. Now it's a problem. Answer that and I'll decide from there. The next response, How I Celebrate April Fools, banana peels everywhere. That's a great prank, but also that's one that could backfire. You've got to be careful with this. You think you're setting the trap for your Uncle Charles at the family dinner, then lo and behold, you slip on the peel and end up going face first into the mashed potatoes in front of everybody. And there's nobody to blame but you. You put banana peels all over the kitchen floor, there's no clear walkway around them, and it's your fault. The next response, How I Celebrate April Fools, replacing the cream in cream-filled donuts with mayonnaise. I don't think I'm the only one that would say this, but I think that's grounds for a fight. I know if I bit into what I think is a raspberry-filled donut and mayonnaise squirts into my mouth, it's very likely that I'll get violent. Very fast. And the last response, How I Celebrate April Fools, by making brownies. Okay. Brownies. That could be cool. Brownies in the shape of a letter E. I like that. Go ahead and somebody get on that. Let me know when you're fixing them. I'll bring a plate and get me a piece. Apparently there's a rule in London which regulates junk food advertising. And we all know this, but hot dogs aren't exactly the healthiest thing on earth. But even though we know that, a comedian named Ed Gamble found out the hard way while campaigning for people to watch his newest stand-up special. The poster for the show, Hot Diggity Dog, see what he did there? Hot Dog is on the poster. Hot Diggity Dog is the show's title. Showed a mustard and ketchup smeared Gamble beside a half-eaten hot dog on a plate. The subway station then told him that junk food advertising wasn't allowed, so his hands are pretty much tied here. So this guy decided he'd do something smart. He replaced the wiener with a cucumber, and the poster was approved. Since 2019, Transport for London, that's the city's transportation authority, has banned ads for foods that are high in fat, sugar, and salt from the city's subway trains and stations, buses, and shelters. It's also barring advertisements that promote unhealthy body shapes. So in replacing the hot dog with a cucumber, Gamble said that the idea is a bit concerning because he doubts the two things go together. And I think most of us are in the same boat he's in, unless, well, you're more adventurous of an eater than I am. The campaign is meant to help curb obesity in children because you know what happened when you were a kid. Everything you saw that looked cool, you wanted to buy, right? And also, if you were like some kids, you wanted to push boundaries. You tell them not to do this or don't eat that, they'll want to do exactly the opposite because it's not what they're supposed to do. What do you think? Drop a comment on Facebook and let me know. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. I'm really glad you could make it, and I hope you enjoyed the festivities. If you want to stay connected to the show, I'd invite you to pop on over to Facebook or Twitter and give the page a follow. Just search eBoneZone on Facebook and official EBZ on Twitter. And if you want more from the podcast, visit the website, www.ebonezone.com. If you're new, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next week, my friend, God bless you, stay humble, and remember, keep an ear out.